KJAN Sports.
Time to check sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this hour brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. Well, not much high school baseball around the area last night. In regular season play, Harlan beat Thomas Jefferson 13-1. It was Bishop Heelan Catholic topping Lewis Central 4-1, while Denison beat Storm Lake by a 5-4 final yesterday in high school baseball. In Major League Baseball, Paul Goldschmidt hit a go-ahead three-run homer off Michael Feliz in the seventh inning, and the St. Louis Cardinals beat Pittsburgh 6-5, dealing the Pirates their fifth loss in six games. That was a game heard live here on KJAN. St. Louis trailed 4-3 when Tommy Edmonds singled off of Francisco Liriano with one out in the seventh inning. Jose Martinez walked, Feliz then relieved, and Goldschmidt followed with his 18th homer. John Brebbia struck out four in two perfect innings, and Carlos Martinez gave up an RBI single to Brian Reynolds in the ninth as the Cards pick up the victory. In other National League action, Milwaukee beat Atlanta 5-4. It was the Chicago Cubs over Cincinnati 5-2. San Francisco beat Colorado 11-8. The LA Dodgers topping Philadelphia 7-2. San Diego beat Miami by a final of 3-2. In the American League yesterday, Danny Duffy pitched six strong innings and ended a nine-start winless streak, and Jorge Soler and Nicky Lopez hit back-to-back RBI singles twice as the Kansas City Royals beat the Chicago White Sox by a final of 7-5. Duffy scattered six hits and struck out five, sending Chicago to its season-worst sixth straight loss. Elsewhere in American League Baseball yesterday, it was Oakland over Seattle by a final of 10-2. Boston beat Toronto 5-4. Cleveland over Detroit 7-2. Houston beat the LA Angels 11-2. Tampa Bay at the New York Yankees was rained out yesterday. Also in interleague play yesterday, New York Mets beat Minnesota 14-4. Also, it was the Baltimore Orioles topping Washington 9-2. Arizona clobbered Texas 19-4 in yesterday's action. In other Major League Baseball news, Baltimore has agreed to reimburse Boston for up to $2.5 million of Andrew Cashner's performance bonuses as part of last weekend's trade that sent the 32-year-old right-hander to the Red Sox. Cashner made his Boston debut Tuesday night and took the loss in a 10-4 defeat to Toronto, allowing six runs, five earned, and eight hits over five innings. That dropped him to 9-4 with a 409 earned run average and 18 starts in 101 and a third innings this season. As part of Saturday's trade, Baltimore received a pair of 17-year-old prospects and agreed to send Boston close to $1.8 million to cover the cost of what Cashner was due from his $8 million salary this year. Baltimore already was responsible for $500,000 in performance bonuses that Cashner has earned and for Cashner's $3 million signing bonus. Cashner's deal includes a $10 million option for 2020 that would become guaranteed if he pitches at least 187 innings this year. Philadelphia Phillies closer Hector Neris has been suspended for three games and fined an undisclosed amount for intentionally throwing a pitch in the area of the head of David Freese of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Joe Torre, the chief of baseball officer for Major League Baseball, announced that suspension and fine a day after the incident in the ninth inning of the Phillies' victory. The Phillies have placed veteran outfielder Jay Bruce on the 10-day injured list with a strained right oblique and recalled outfielder Nick Williams from AAA Lehigh Valley. Los Angeles pitcher Nô Ramirez has been suspended for three games and fined an undisclosed amount for throwing a pitch in the area of Houston outfielder Jake Marisnik's head. And Angels manager Brad Ausmus has been suspended a game and fined. The Cleveland Indians say pitcher Corey Kluber threw a successful bullpen session at Progressive Field, the right-hander's first time throwing from a mound since fracturing his right forearm on May 1st. The team said the two-time Cy Young Award winner fired 20 fastballs as scheduled before Cleveland's game against Detroit on Wednesday. The Chicago White Sox have placed rookie outfielder Eloy Jimenez on the 10-day injured list with an ulnar nerve contusion in his right arm. That move comes a day after Jimenez collided with outfielder Charlie Tilson in the first inning against the Kansas City Royals. The Royals play shortstop Adalberto Mondesi on the 10-day injured list with a left shoulder injury. Mondesi injured his shoulder in the fifth inning of Tuesday's game against the White Sox, attempting to make a diving catch. Ernie Broglio, a 21-game winner in 1960, who's remembered most as the player traded by the St. Louis Cardinals for Hall of Famer Lou Brock, has died. He was 83. Broglio's daughter, Donna Broglio Cavallaro, confirmed her father's death on social media. Another daughter told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that Broglio had been battling cancer and died Tuesday night. Broglio tied for the major league lead in victories and finished third in National League Cy Young Award voting in 1960 with St. Louis. He pitched solidly for the Cardinals until being sent to the Chicago Cubs for Brock during the 1964 season. Brock broke out after the trade, hitting .348 with 33 stolen bases, helping St. Louis win that year's World Series. The right-handed Broglio struggled with injuries and went 7-19 over 2.5 seasons with the Cubs. Not only does Iowa tight end Nate Wieding have big shoes to fill, he has several of them. The former walk-on will try to replace Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson. The duo combined for 88 catches and 13 touchdowns a year ago before leaving early to become first-round NFL draft picks. Wieding had 2 catches a year ago.
Those two guys, Noah and T.J., they had incredible years and incredible careers. And I think they're going to do really well in the NFL. But I still think we have a lot coming back. And I think the guys in the room can show that we can be really good at the tight end position despite losing Noah and TJ last year.
Wieding is anxious for his chance to shine while battling through a career that's included multiple surgeries.
Sometimes you take a look back, see what you've overcome. Seeing those young guys come in, it kind of brings you back a little bit to your first days on campus. But it's exciting. I'm excited to get after it and show what I can do, try and help the team win some games, and we'll see where it takes me.
We'll have Hawkeye football this fall for you again here on KJAN. In a conference that's known for offense, Iowa State has moved into contention in the Big 12 with defense. Linebackers Mike Rose and Marcel Spears return to anchor a Cyclone defense that coach Matt Campbell expects to make even more progress.
It's really great to be able to build on a really powerful and strong front seven for us. And we feel like, you know, not only to have Mike back up the middle and Marcel back up the middle, but some of those interior defense alignment, when you talk about Ray Lima, Jaquan Bailey, Annie Urazawike, I think those are powerful pieces.
A key on offense will be replacing running back David Montgomery, but an experienced offensive line will help.
You know, it's certainly great to be ushered in around a offensive line that's almost intact coming back. You know, 4 seniors, 5 starters coming back, 7 guys that have had playing or starting experience in that group as well. So there's a lot of competition right now.
Campbell made his comments at the Big 12 Media Days. Well, next month, more than 50,000 former college athletes will begin collecting portions of a $208 million class action settlement paid by the NCAA. That's part of a case that challenged the association's caps on compensation. Hagens Berman, a law firm representing the plaintiffs, says 53,748 bowl subdivision football players and Division I men's and women's basketball players who competed between 2010 and 2017 are eligible to receive compensation. The law firm said payments will range from $5,000 to $7,500 for those who competed for 4 years, and checks will start being distributed in late August. Distribution was held up by one objector to the settlement who missed a July 17th deadline to appeal the case to the Supreme Court. And Darren Clark considered the opening tee shot on home soil to be an honor. That doesn't mean it was ceremonial. The 50-year-old Clark, whose game was honed at Royal Portrush as a junior, birdied the opening hole to some throaty applause. And then he birdied the par 3 third and the tough fifth that runs out toward the North Atlantic. That put him at 3-under heading to the 6th hole. With only a light breeze and a links slightly softened by rain, Royal Portrush was not at its toughest, but of the 18 players to have completed one hole, 5 were under par, as the British Open is underway today at Royal Portrush. Early on, Shane Lowry and Robert McIntyre hold the lead. Lowry's finished his round. McIntyre's through 17 holes. They're both at 4 under par. 3 other golfers, Webb Simpson, Alex Noren, and Sergio Garcia, currently stand at 3 under par. Those 3 golfers have all finished their first rounds for today. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Marnie Elkhorn Telephone Company. Check with them for complete internet hookup. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.